pronounced?
Mitzi. Like pizza.
Okay. And it's Psycan?
Yes, Psycan, yeah.
Okay.
Paranormal Studies and Investigations Canada.
Okay. Now that used to be part of Toronto?
Still is.
Still, okay. Because I remember the Toronto group from years going by.
Yeah, that's Toronto Ghost and Hauntings Research Society.
Okay.
That's like a sister group, gotcha. Parent group.
So you, have, you have a couple little groups involved with this?
Of Psycan?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay. As I thought I was reading, there was a list of groups and stuff involved in this whole one big organization.
You guys each talk into your mic so I can make sure you guys are coming over.
Okay.
That's not going to work.
That's not going to work?
Yeah.
That's that better?
No.
No? Better?
Talk like you would at the diner.
You can't curse on the radio.
Or you can move this forward. So you move it forward. Just make sure that the mic is like, that's the balance point because the mic's kind of heavy.
Yeah.
Hello, everyone. This is Erica.
You come over fine.
That's fine.
You got the loudest mic, so you should be fine.
All right. Hello, this is Bill.
That's better.
There
that's
you
better.
Go.
You can probably talk from there or move up closer, too. Because the mic... I'm not on a mic, and I'm coming over the board perfect.
Yeah.
So they'll be able to hear everything you say, because you have a big mouth.
Yay!
That was perfect.
Big mouth.
I already have the thing recording, so we don't have to worry about that.
What the heck was that sound?
That was a truck driving by. I was wondering,
oh,
too.
Oh, man. I think I should be recording EVPs here.
The mics are so sensitive. And this house was built, the Ghost Hunter store is in. It was built in 1792.
Wow.
Everything in it moves and creaks, and the mics just pick it all up. We can't really even have people walking across the floor. It just sounds like, you know, someone like breaking something or cracking something. All right, we're going to get ready to go here.
Okay.
I'm going to deactivate the source and then go into the...
You're going to do the introduction?
No, you can do it. I have to concentrate on what I'm doing here.
Yeah.
Alright. Okay, deactivating the source. I'm going to go online.
Live from the Ghost Hunter Store, brought to you by the Shadowlands, South Jersey Ghost Research, and the Ghost Hunter Store. Here's some paranormal straight talk with your hosts, Dave Giuliano and Marty Haynes.
Be running the computer tonight for me. Tonight we have John Mitzi from Psycan, and that's in Canada. How you doing, John?
Pretty good. I'm here.
I have some co-hosts here with me tonight. We got Bill from South Jersey Ghost Research and Erica and Mandy. Say hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello, everyone.
And Dave is in the room, so he can say hello, too.
Hi, everybody.
John, just to get started, what got you into the field? You guys seem to be doing. You seem to do everything. The group looks like it does ghost hunting, crypto, aliens. I mean, I went on the website and I saw that the group is a bunch of little groups, and you seem to get into all the paranormal fields.
Yeah, Psycan is like a cover-all group. We cover crypto. Ghosts, hauntings. We do investigations into both. We do we just carry anything that's paranormal. We'll look into it. We're basically an educational group, though. So Even though we do investigations, we're into educating the public more about the different forms of paranormal activity and how you can deal with it and how you look for it and that sort of thing.
Okay. You really get into the EVP side of ghost hunting, is that correct?
Yeah, that's kind of my specialty, I guess, because, well, let me go back a little bit to tell you how I kind of got into all of this.
Okay.
Like Dave Giuliano, Dave, I at a very, very young age, I grew up in a haunted house in the Toronto area of Canada. And I experienced a lot of things for about 6 years, and I was absolutely terrified. It was horrible. There was one point where I had this ghost walking up and down, or I think it's a ghost, whatever a ghost would sound like, but it would walk up and down the hallway all night long, and it would pace, and it would start from a slow walk to a very fast walk, and then it would stop, and then it would start it again from a slow walk. And after 3 years of listening to this, constantly every night, I slept a couple of years sleeping with my fingers in my ears just so that I could get to sleep. But I spent a lot of years very, very terrified until I left my house and I went to a little country in the Mediterranean with my parents. And I was 11 years old when I left the house. And so that was kind of like a godsend for me. I never experienced that kind of paranormal activity again, although I did have experiences later on. And then for about, oh my gosh, 20, 25 years, I think, I completely blocked it out. I didn't want to have anything to do with it because of the terror I felt as a child. And strangely enough, about 8 years ago, I was searching the internet because I was afraid of it, but I was strangely curious all at the same time. And about 8 years ago, I came across the Shadowlands website. And I read all about Dave and how he had grown up in a haunted house.
No, so it's all his fault.
It is his fault. He inspired me. I said, man, if this guy can do this, how come I'm not doing it? And I actually felt embarrassed that I couldn't face my fear like Dave had. And turned around to start teaching people about the paranormal and showing them that there isn't so much to be afraid of. But so it wasn't actually PsyCan, but the second place I went to was PsyCan, and they have a online test, and I took their course, and I took their test, and I passed their test, and I got a call from Matthew Didier, mm-hmm. and said, boy, you're in. And it just so happened, though, that from a very young age, I was always interested in the sciences and technical things. And I'm an electronics technologist. I'm a licensed millwright.
Okay.
I own my own business right now, repairing machinery. And I've always had a really strong interest in audio. I took digital because that was, you know, was a good job in digital.
Yeah.
But I've always loved the audio portions of it. And I always was around mixers and microphones. And I learned a lot. I started when I was 14, fooling around, building my own speakers and things like that. And then, but while I was with PsyCan, they taught me how to deal with my fears. They supported me. And they made me feel like you know, this wasn't such a bad thing. It wasn't such an odd thing to deal with. And they really helped me out. And when I started investigating, I just kind of did a whole bunch of things. I started taking pictures, and I started taking video, and I started doing recordings. Hello?
Yeah, we're still on.
Okay, so I started doing recordings. And then I realized that the only real evidence I was getting, physical evidence, was with EVPs.
Yeah, I think that's where I started too. I started with all the the pictures and everything, but for some reason I was getting EVPs where people standing next to me were getting nothing. So yeah.
Like me.
Yeah.
I get absolutely nothing.
And I'll come out with, you know, 10 or 15 EVPs in an investigation.
You guys all get good stuff too, don't you?
Yeah.
It's rare for me to get anything good, but it happens every now and then.
I get some.
I'm talking like one A class in 25 years.
Yeah.
So
I think some of it though is hearing too. I think that some people can hear deeper down into that field for the EVPs.
Well, I don't know. All I know is that my tape record, I set up tape recorders and they started working, and I started recording EVPs. And then as I started looking into it, I started doing more and more personal experimentation and my own developing my own hypothesis. And then I started using my electronics background and my mechanical background to develop equipment that would enhance those hypotheses that I started forming, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to have worked. I've got a lot of custom things that actually nobody else is using right now. Nobody uses the stuff that I built because I built it for myself. And really, the only person I have to prove it to is myself.
Right.
But so I built all my own equipment, and it's working very well. Right now I've got a third prototype on a unit that I'm working on, and it's so far it's returned 100% of the tests that I've been doing. And actually, I haven't even been testing it. I've given it to other people in the PsyCan group, and so far it's given me 100% return on EVPs.
Yeah. I could ask a question. I was just going to ask.
Yeah.
Because I've noticed that certain people can amplify it. So if you're a natural person that would attract EVPs to you, and you're testing your own equipment, you're not really getting a good test.
Right.
It's letting other people, you know,
see if they can pick up.
Yeah, see if they get it.
Yeah.
And if they get 100%, then you know you're onto something really good.
Mm-hmm.
No. Well, you know, for me to, I want to cite one example that might be coming up that I sent you. And this was taken in a believe it or not, in a cemetery. Although PsyCan doesn't believe that cemeteries are haunted, and I agree with that. But for this particular place up near where I live, I did do some EVP recordings, and it was like the first time I had ever tried to record EVPs, and I had three tape recorders set out. One was on my son, one was on me, and one was on the ground. And we got the same EVP, except that I was the one that got the EVP. The second one was very faint, and the one on my son didn't get it at all. And you can hear the differences because my son's voice on his tape recorder was more pronounced, of course, because
mm-hmm.
it was closer to him. And the one that was on me, well, you can hear my voice is more pronounced, and you'll hear the EVP. And then you hear the third one, and it didn't barely have anything at all, but there's a very, very slight whisper you'll hear on it. So that's where I learned about positioning, that where you place the microphone and where the recording device is really makes a difference in recording EVP.
So you believe that they actually record the EVPs? I've heard some theories where it's imprinted on the media, and the mic really doesn't even play any function of the EVP.
Right. Well, yes. Right now I don't subscribe to the theory of voices being imprinted,
okay.
only because it hasn't happened to me yet. And people have to learn to understand how microphones work. So I built a very special device, and it's affectionately known within PsyCan as the salad bowl. And basically, it's a parabolic microphone that, because I didn't have any money, I built it with a broomstick handle, duct tape, a salad bowl, and a couple of Radio Shack Electret microphones.
That works.
It works, and it works extremely well, actually. And the thing about it is that when you use a normal pencil mic, or you use, let's say, a small digital recording device or a dictaphone, even if the microphone is 3 feet away from the device to keep the extraneous sounds out, mm-hmm. there are inherent limits to each microphone. So you may be able to go 10 feet, but after that, like, your sound is going to drop off that you're picking up from that microphone
right.
as you move farther and farther away from the mic. So it makes it, if there paranormal activity is occurring and something is producing a voice, and it was farther than 10 feet away, let's say in the corner of the room, because it doesn't want to be heard, but it wants to be part of the conversation, and it won't be picked up by that mic, or it will be picked up, but you'll have to play it back at very high decibels to be able to gather it.
Right.
So that's when I started using a parabolic microphone, and it was really good. I was able to pick up whispers at about 400 feet away, and it has yielded excellent results. A lot of these EVPs that you're hearing tonight will have come from that parabolic microphone.
Okay.
And the only one that's worked with my new prototype device is the one that you'll hear from Mississauga, and I'll point it out to you, which is the child's voice coming through.
Yeah, I listened to that one. That was a little creepy.
Yeah, and that one was done with this new paranormal device that, again, nobody has. Now, I have to point out that, like, I don't have a lot of money, and most of my stuff I buy is from garage sales, flea markets.
Well, we're all in the same boat. I'm right there with you.
Yeah. Like, you don't have to spend a lot of money to do these things. Just get yourself a cassette recorder. I know I have four or five of them. I was able to buy some very high quality. I got a Harman Kardon cassette deck here that I bought for $10 Canadian, which is like 50 cents American, you know. So, but I've got a lot of old equipment here, and that's a lot what I use. I go to the dollar store, I buy dollar microphones. They work just as well as anything else.
Right.
And like I said, I custom make my stuff.
The
particular prototype device I have now that I got, this Mississauga one, I have a lot of hopes for it, and I have a feeling that I'm very close to the cusp of being able to do two-way communication. This is what the third prototype that I'm working on right now is. So
nice. I can't wait to hear if that works out for you.
I said I was going to shut my mouth the whole time, but I do have a quick question.
I knew he wouldn't. Knew he couldn't shut his mouth.
I want to hear John's opinion on this, because we've done a lot of research based on what Raudive was doing originally with the no microphone kind of deal.
And right.
We have a guy that's in the group that used to be is a sound engineer. So he brought a portable reel-to-reel back before it was on the computer. Now it was literally like a 16-track reel recording device.
Beautiful.
He had, you know, studio quality mics, and we mic'd up an entire house. So we had stuff in all the bedrooms, the main floor, and in the basement. And on multiple occasions, same house, because we went there because we were getting a lot of EVPs, we got the same EVP, but you could tell which mic it was according to the track. We would get them, one in the same EVP would be like in the top bedroom, and then in the basement. None of the other mics would pick it up, like it was being directly imprinted to those tracks, because all the mics were identical. The way sound works in my mind, all the other mics in between the basement and that bedroom should have picked it up too, and they got nothing. And it happened to us at least, I'd say, four or five different times at different locations too. That's where we've gone with the theory that it's imprinted. But like you said, you haven't had that experience yet, so it's hard to say. But is there anything we're missing that you think that that could account for us having that happen and the sound bypassing the other microphones?
Well, let me throw this theory at you. What if, and this is a hypothesis, can't say for sure, but what comes to mind is, what if the voice was being simultaneously produced in two different locations at the same time?
You know what? It's a simple answer, and it just made me smile, because that makes perfectly good
sense. It makes sense, sure.
We're talking disembodied voices anyway. Who's to say they can't be in two places at once?
Right.
Yeah, well, I've got an even stranger hypothesis than that I'm working on right now. I'm working with Dr. Barry Colvin from England. Have you heard of his work?
Not familiar with him,
no. No, he's the gentleman who recently was all over the internet for being able to prove that they were saying that he proved that ghosts exist. And the way he did it was, and actually it was a bit of a misnomer, but what he did do was he proved that sounds that are produced paranormally are different. So what he did was he took recordings of poltergeist cases right from the Enfield case, and he's been on some of those cases from the past 10, 11 years, and he's over in England. And he put them through, I think it was Audacity Audition, he told me.
Okay.
He came to meet me here for lunch in Toronto. And he told me all about his experiments. And he gave me a copy of the, he got published in the Society for Physical Research. And what I saw was that his sound occurred on a bell curve. And when sound is produced naturally, like and these are knockings from these poltergeist cases.
Okay. Okay.
So what would happen is they would start at a high amplitude and work their way down. That's a natural sound. But a paranormal sound crescendos and then decrescendos like a bell curve, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, wow, this stuff is great. I said I could, I think it might cross over into my EVP research. And so after he came, I told him about my theories. He came to see me. And we spoke about it, and then I've started working now. I'm gathering information, and I've actually got some evidence that some sounds, some knockings that I've gathered during my EVP research are paranormal because they fit the bell curve of that Dr. Colvin had come up with. And The thing that I thought was strange is when I started listening to the characteristics of paranormal sound or paranormal voices, you know how the cadence is off and all of that?
Yeah.
Well, if you can liken the sound wave, you can liken the sound waves to the sound waves that occur in the ocean, right? And so when they hit the shore, they tend to crash and they'll change.
Right.
This is because the sound waves are becoming compressed. Well, my theory is, see, sound waves travel differently in different mediums. They travel differently through concrete, or even if the temperature changes, sound will change differently.
Right. Yes.
Well, we'll change in respect to that. So what one of my hypotheses is that there's actually like almost like a paranormal bubble. And when the voice occurs, the sound is changing because it hits that, it comes from that paranormal bubble where the atmosphere may actually be changed. And then as it hits our atmosphere, it crashes like those waves and it changes the pitch. It changes the speed from slow to fast. And that's why we have a hard time interpreting what those EVPs are saying because, well, the amplitude changes, the pitch changes, the speed changes. Because as these sound waves are moving from the one type of atmosphere to the other, it causes them to change. And this all came from Dr. Colvin's work. And right now, like I said, I do have some evidence that I've sent to Dr. Colvin that he's going to be analyzing right now.
So I haven't heard back
from him yet. So
using his set of data, you're able to pinpoint whether EVP is paranormal or not. Based on all the criteria. So it actually gives you something that you can compare each EVP to show whether it was real or natural.
Right, and you can match them up and prove, you know, that's some sort of proof there that...
I like learning stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. That is the whole point to it, yes. That's what I'm working on right now. And if you'll notice, have you ever heard with EVPs, this is a classic symptom. In fact, even the American EVP Association talks about this in their white paper, where there are a series of clicks or pops before or after.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're going to hear that in one of the ones if we get time, because it's already 20 after 6. But, there's one that where there was a definite pops. There's about 7 pops in it. But when I analyzed those kind of pops, and I actually analyzed it with another person who was testing my prototype unit, mm-hmm. and when I brought up the waveform on the screen, it was definitely a bell curve. It was not an amplitude that would losing frequency as it came down, or amplitude as it came down. It was a bell curve. It started slow, it grew, and then it came back down again, which exactly matches Dr. Colvin's work. So it's pretty odd stuff.
That's really cool stuff. All right, we're right. If you want to play some of your
EVPs, which what would you like to start with? Would you like to start with those 3 tracks so that you can, you know, discuss those?
Sure. Whatever you guys want. You can do the 3 tracks, or you can just go ahead and I'll explain the background, and I'll explain the equipment I was using and what it might mean, everything means.
Yeah, I want to go through those on, because they kind of show some of your theory on how you pick up EVPs. And then I want to go to the one with the pops, because I did go through and listen to them, and I did hear that one, and that one is very interesting as well.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So you want to start?
Tracked up 24.
Yeah,
right?
Go ahead, shoot.
Okay, here we go.
We're going to play them.
I need these people alone.
Right.
Okay. We'll come back and visit again.
Where'd you put the tape recorder?
I hope that you were able to say something and have it recorded on tape. Or on our recording site. Goodbye.
That was the.
That was
the crash at the end. Was not part of the EVP. But.
So that was the first EVP.
Okay, so that was the first one, and you'll notice that my son's voice was more. That was my son Matthew, by the way.
Okay.
But my son's voice was more pronounced, and that was the one that was around his where the microphone was actually around his neck.
Okay.
And you'll notice, and the EVP occurs just before you hear me cough. And so when you listen to the other two, listen to just before you hear me cough. But you'll notice that it did not pick it up in that version. So that's one of the ones that didn't pick up the EVP at that time.
Okay.
That's good, because I didn't hear one, so I was worried. So we're done. Track 25 next.
Yeah.
Yeah. I need these people alone.
Right.
Okay. We'll come back and visit again.
Where'd you put the tape recorder?
I hope that you were able to say something and have it recorded on tape. Or on our recording site. Goodbye.
So if you'll notice on the second one, it was there, but I don't think it was. I think that's the second one that wasn't as pronounced.
Right.
And you would have heard "We're here"
right.
in a whisper, because I said "We'll come and visit you again," and they knew we were leaving, and they said "We're here," like, but they said it in a whisper.
Let's play that.
If you want to play it again, you'll hear it just before I cough.
All right, we'll play it again.
I need these people alone.
Right.
Okay. We'll come back and visit again.
Where'd you put the tape recorder?
I hope that you were able to say something and have it recorded on tape. Or on our recording site. Goodbye. Remember, please.
So, there, like I had said, I hope you were able to say something and be able to be recororded on tape. And it occurred just after that. But if you play the third
before
one, hopefully
coughed,
it'll
right?
be more pronounced.
Yeah, it was right before you coughed.
Yeah.
Just very faint.
Very faint. Because that was the one on the ground.
You hear the words, yeah.
You guys hear it? A little bit.
No.
Okay. I didn't hear. So we're 50-50 here. Now, I'm assuming the next one's going to be the good one where it's louder.
Yeah, you're going to hear it.
Well, if you don't hear them, trust me, you'll hear the other ones.
See, that's my problem. I probably get hundreds of EVPs and just delete them because I just don't hear them.
Yeah, these were the first ones I ever took. So my equipment at that point wasn't very good. It was just a basic microphone and Radio Shack cassette recorder.
Oh, I remember those days. All right. We got another track, 27, is that?
Yeah, that's the final one.
Here. Okay, I'll play that one then.
Right. Okay. We will come back and visit again. I hope that you were able to say something and have it recorded on tape. Or on our recording devices. Goodbye. And
we all heard that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, you heard that one, right? Now, you see, my voice was the most pronounced, and that was the one that was around my neck. And I did enhance it. I remember now that I did enhance it a little bit for you guys to hear it.
Yeah, right in that section, but you can still make it out.
Yeah. So there you go. There were three tape recorders in three different positions, and you could hear the volume difference in between the three recordings. So that's what led me actually to... come up with the prototype that I have now. A part of that, it was all like a big thing that, you know, it's all these little hypotheses that come up that, and you sort of start putting everything together like a puzzle, and then it leads you in the right direction, right?
Yeah. Now,
you're getting some kudos for the Radio Shack cassette recorder.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty doggone good, huh?
So you're not the only one that still has one.
I'm sure I have mine buried somewhere in my box of, because I'm the hoarder of equipment. I never get anything away or get rid of anything. It's always somewhere. All right, we got some other. You gave us a ton of
a whole bunch. Just keep going through, and I can talk to you about them.
Okay, here's a. Do you want us to tell what the name is of the clip so you're aware?
No, you just go ahead and play them because I don't want to give any clues to some of these EVPs because of confidentiality agreements.
Okay.
Gotcha. All right, here we go. I'll play the next one.
Do you like it here? He's walking away. Damn woman, he's walking away. Uh-oh. Did I make you mad?
Doesn't like women.
Do my questions make you mad, Lawrence?
Doesn't like...
Oh, was that a little child?
Actually, we don't know what that was. And to tell you the truth, that was taken by another member of our organization, Chris Larson, who's now he's studying, I think, at the University of Guelph. But he was using a digital recorder at the time. And we were in the basement of a very famously haunted location in the Hamilton area. Actually, it was the place beside it.
Okay.
So I won't say what it was. But what it was, there happened to be a psychic with us at the time who was kind of like testing the place. We were testing to see if psychics were any help to us. And obviously it was because she told us that... there was a person there, a man named Lawrence, and this was, we were close to water. And Lawrence would take his horses down to the water and come back, but he had a horse farm there. And in the basement, they were saying that Lawrence didn't like women. And so when the psychic said, oh, he's walking away, she felt that he was walking away. An EVP comes up and says, he walked out. Like in that very childish voice that you heard. That was absolutely incredible because we had what the psychic was saying and the EVP actually backed her up in what she was saying. So this was a real milestone for me personally. Even though I didn't get this one, I kept it because it was really, really good.
It's always nice when you get
he did a really good job.
Confirmations.
Yeah. And it's especially for the person who's the sensitive and picking it up, that confirmation really goes a long way. All right, we're playing another one here.
Absolutely. At the beginning of that, I might have sent you the wrong version, but at the very beginning of that, you heard a man's voice.
I did hear it.
Yeah.
And the man was saying, now this was a very, very good example of place memory. This was taken at an investigation near Port Perry. No one else is able to investigate there. They only want me. And so there's a lot of confidentiality. Well, they want SACAN. But there's a lot of confidentiality around it because no one else is allowed to go up there. And I've been going there for 3 years now. And what that was place memory. And it was a very, very old family that was there for a long time from the Civil War times. And I was recording with my salad bowl on the main floor. And I actually heard this EVP as it was being said, and this was on the upper floor, and I thought it was just somebody talking, but when I played it back I realized that it wasn't. And what it says, for those that couldn't understand it, it said, shame on you, in your room, in the jug now. And what that means is there was no outhouse in that building, in that homestead. So what happened, I think, was is that one of the children needed to go to the bathroom and did not want to go freeze his butt off in our beautiful Canadian winters, and ended up being chastised by an adult for relieving himself in the corner. And this is speculation on my count, but I mean, it makes perfect sense. Shame on you. In your room, in the jug, which would be like back then they had jugs, right?
Is this in the very beginning of this EVP? The recording, is it the very front of it?
It was pretty close to the beginning.
I can replay it now that we've kind of got that area. I'll just play the first like 10 seconds of it. Will that cover it?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, let me try to play that again then. Definitely heard in the jug in your room now.
Yeah, not here.
Yeah.
That was the last two words. Yeah.
That's
an amazing place. It's like we found the holy grail of investigations. Every time we go there, we get this kind of a response. And there's some very personal connections, which I can't talk about with the place, but it was absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. We just came across the holy grail in this place. Now we make it a camping trip. We stay there for the whole weekend. And we record EVPs in the building, out of the building, in the woods, in the campgrounds, everywhere. And it's steeped with history. It's amazing. And there's also been other sightings there, like cryptozoological. One of a gargoyle in the family cemetery. And there's also even been UFOs spotted over the nearby lake. So this place is a real paranormal hotspot.
Yeah, wow.
No Bigfoot sightings?
Not yet, but we're expecting to get something soon, I'm sure, the way it's going.
So I'm ready to go for some Bigfoot hunting. I really am. there's something that's happening. I live in Pennsylvania, and there's a trip now. It's next week, and I'm away. I'm really bummed. I get more excited about watching the Bigfoot shows than watching the ghost shows anymore. But anyway, I just thought Canada and Bigfoot, that just...
They had to go together?
Yeah, just make okay. it like that. You know? All right, ready for the next one?
Sure.
There we go. Don't forget a gun.
Walker?
Yeah.
Captain Morgan. With their parade boots on, so you're gonna hear it. Boom, boom,
boom.
Okay, now that's really freaky, right?
Yeah.
Because what you've just been listening to, that lady, that was an EVP. And it sounds just like somebody talking.
Yeah, I thought that was one of your investigators.
No. And let me give you a little bit of background. I'll spend a few seconds so that you understand what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
We were in a Legion in the Toronto area. Again, confidentiality, but we're in a Legion in the Toronto area. One of the other investigators, who I love very much, her name is Robin Bellamy, Pyatt Bellamy, and she comes with us all the time, and we work very well together. She had broken toes, and at the time, I didn't even know she had broken toes because she didn't tell me. And we were sitting in the common area of this Legion Hall. Now, the first thing you hear was the caretaker talking about listening to boots up on the second floor, because there was there were reports of stomping and furniture moving on the second floor. Mm-hmm. But that's not what occurred. What occurred was that Robin was sitting at a table. She had broken toes. And all of a sudden, with my salad bowl, I caught this EVP when I played it back, of course. And it was hello, Robin. Please stop shouting out in pain. And then it said, I got to remember this. It says, are you experiencing sadness? And then she says, I was in a ward for this. Now, you got to realize that this is an EVP. Now, normally people are getting one or two words.
Yeah,
I'm getting like multiple sentences now. And in front of that was another EVP. And if you'll notice, Robin and I were joking around about the alcohol behind the bar, which was in the common area. And we were talking about all the names, Johnny Walker, Captain Morgan. Mm-hmm. And we were like joking around with it. And
that's
then if you listen very carefully, you're going to hear a second or a first EVP. The lady's voice was actually the second EVP. The first EVP, now there's a lot to think about when you hear this. It said, now it was very cynical. And if you heard a lot of EVPs, you'll hear that a lot of EVPs are cynical, right? And this one, we were joking around about the liquor. Then you hear a man's voice in a whisper say, stop heaven for this.
I heard that right away. I thought that was the EVP. And I was getting
ready to cut it off. No, that's the first EVP. And then the second EVP comes through with this voice. Now, when we got this, we got really excited because we said, wow. We said, this is layered EVPs. This is an example of layered EVPs, and I don't know if you've heard a lot of examples of this, but Alexander McRae had come up with this, and I believe it was also in the American EVP, or so the American American EVP Society. You know what I'm talking about,
yes,
right?
Yes, uh-huh, yes.
In their white paper that said that EVPs can occur in layers. Well, this was the first time I'd ever heard layers. And in actual fact, it still fits into my whole theory of an atmospheric bubble, because what happens is the atmospheric bubble occurs, and then all of these paranormal entities are able to speak through that atmospheric bubble that's occurring when they appear. And this is why we get multiple EVPs. So in here are multiple EVPs. The first one is, stopped heaven for this. Then the second one is, hi, Robin, and so on, right? So if you want, you can play it again.
Yeah, let's play
it
again.
Yeah, please.
Don't forget, John. With your parade boots on, so you're gonna hear like boom.
Okay, that's the second one.
But it's so crystal clear.
So you got it?
Yes. Yeah,
and you heard the stopped heaven for this on top of the second EVP, right?
Yes.
It's very freaky.
Now you got two spirits that are obviously interacting with you.
Absolutely.
Them, you know? I wonder. Yep. Now I wonder if they both knew that they were interacting at the same time, or are they in, you know, two different levels and not realizing that they're both talking over each other?
Can you play the one from the Mississauga investigation? Because that also has two EVPs. And they do interact with each other.
Is that the one in the parlor?
No, it's the one with the little girl. And she goes, don't go at the end.
Do you remember the name of it? I'm not sure.
Mississauga 01, I think. It'd be really cool if you could play that one, because that's the freakiest one I've had in a long time. Can you find it?
Yeah, we're looking to see how there's one that says, it's messy parlor, it looks like. Well, and then there's
okay, that's a whole other one.
And
that's a
Missy
good
full track.
What was that?
It's a
Miss Full
track.
Yes, track one. That's the one. Play that one.
Okay.
Still behind me. I still feel it coming from the room. That's where it's hiding. It's coming out here. You could probably look behind that door, which is a cold room. I guess it's a cold room. Nice and dark and damp. Nobody would see you in there.
It's a good hiding spot.
Yeah. I used to do that when I was a kid. Yeah. Oh, man. I gotta get upstairs. My heart's pounding. So anyway, yeah, I did want to mention.
Okay, so that one, let me give you some background. Now, that did that last Don't Go give you a chill?
Yeah, that was good.
Gave me a chill. And everybody that hears it gets a chill. This was an investigation in Mississauga, in the Toronto area of Canada. We were in the basement, and there was only two investigators. And the witnesses had reported seeing a little girl. So what happened was I had my tape recorder on, and you'll hear that we were talking about a cold room that was in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the strange thing was, is me and the other investigator were talking about the cold room and that we wanted to go investigate, but you know, neither of us went in, which was really strange, because the first thing you want to do is investigate all those little dusty places.
Yeah.
But neither of us wanted to go in. And I think it was because of what was going on. And that, so what happened was, is when you first listen to that, you hear a man's voice, and it will say, "They lock her behind the wall." And then right after that, you'll hear the little girl. And you were talking about interaction. Well, the first thing the little girl says is, "Oh, no."
Yeah.
Right?
That, yes.
And then as I'm going along, I'm starting to feel like a little funny. And I have a feeling it had something to do with the paranormal activity that was going on. But I'm not sure. It could have also been physical. And then we went on, and you hear her say, "Hello." And then you'll hear her say, I want my water. And then you'll hear her say, and when we were talking about going into the cold room, she says, "Oh, look, it's all right."
Yeah.
And then at the end, you'll hear her say, "Hello." And then when she realizes that we're not paying attention to her because we can't hear her, you'll hear her say, "Don't go." But when she said it, it was like she had was yelling it,
yes,
trying to communicate with us. And you'll hear you can actually, like if it was more clearly defined, depending on what speakers you're listening to, you'll actually hear an echo when you hear "don't go," whereas everything else didn't have an echo. Because she was yelling it, she was trying to get our attention. She didn't want me to leave.
Right. Well, it was progressively getting louder, like she was coming towards you as she was talking to you.
Absolutely. She was trying to get our attention, but we couldn't hear her at the time.
All right, let's play that one again.
If you want to play it one more time, you can. Yeah. I think people might be interested in hearing it, because that's one of the best ones I ever got.
Yeah.
Still behind me. I still feel it coming from the room. That's where it's hiding. It's coming out here. You could probably look behind that door, which is a cold room. I guess it's a cold room. Nice and dark and damp. Nobody would see you in there.
Hiding spot.
Yeah, I used to do that when I was a kid. Yeah. Oh, man. I gotta get upstairs. My heart's pounding.
That's great.
Yeah,
that last little bit was me walking up the stairs. So.
Yeah, but definitely you can hear her moving closer. And you were, or whoever was talking at the time, was saying it's getting closer, you know, I can feel it getting closer. So you were acknowledging that the energy was coming closer too.
Yeah, that was me. I could feel it. Yeah.
Yeah, the don't go though. That gets you
That
breaks your little heart, you know, and you didn't get to hear it when it was said because she probably would have interacted a lot longer with you too.
Yeah.
Yes,
well, if you look at my postings on the ICANN website, it says never let the dead interfere with your life. And that was because for weeks afterward, I was very depressed that I couldn't go back and help this girl. Because that was the last night before they were moving out of the house. Oh. And so I could not go back to help this little thing or do any. Not that Psychan helps with clearings, mm-hmm. but I couldn't do anything else. I couldn't get any more recordings. I had to leave it alone, and it was very depressing for me personally that I had to leave it alone, and I had to move on.
We have an EVP like that we play at the lectures all the time. It's the little boy that says, "It's me, Grandpa." And every time you hear it, you can just see everybody's heartbreak over here in that EVP, you know?
Yep, absolutely.
All right, pick one.
All right, let's go. I'll go with Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe here.
Okay.
I don't think we need any.
No, that one is definite.
Okay, so you're going to love this one. Okay, this one was great. Back at that place up in Port Perry, at the historical place that was part of the War of 1812, and this was taken in the mill, and this was received on my salad bowl. The last Mississauga one was with my new device, but this one was with my salad bowl. And we were trying something different here. And what we were doing was we were asking the activity to pose for pictures. Okay. And I wasn't asking. It was another investigator in the group, Rob Strack, and he's a really good guy, and he helps me out with my EVPs quite a bit. But he was there, and he was asking for everybody to pose for a picture. And what we thought was really strange was this happened after he asked for them to pose, and the EVP says, "Damn, no Sarah." Well, Sarah is actually the matriarch of the family. So there's actual history to back up the EVP. Sarah is a very prominent figure there, and she was the wife of the gentleman that had been there since 1700s, late 1700s. And so it was very, very, very enlightening or heartening to hear that that we were able to back that up with the history of the place. Unfortunately, we were disappointed to know that they didn't want to pose for any pictures. So there you go.
Well, at least they were polite enough to tell you.
Yeah. Well, someone was telling Sarah, "Damn, no, Sarah, don't pose for the pictures." So
I'll definitely take the EVP over the picture any day.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know.
Especially well, I'm still trying.
Especially when you're getting the interaction and it's not just a residual kind of EVP.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can see a lot of mine now are becoming interactive. It's
long-winded.
Yeah.
All right, here's the next one. I'm just picking out a random here.
No problem.
That was really weird. It's going to be interesting to see what you've got on your camera. Did you see the blue?
Yeah, I did. Just very briefly. Very briefly.
To me, it was like a flash of blue. It was really bizarre. And now with my other pictures, by the way, it's gone. Well, now you fixed the camera, it's gone. It was just, it was like a small line, and then it was just a ton of pixels.
So now it's not even there at all?
It's not here at all.
Weird.
But it was like when I was looking through the screen and I went to take the shot, I seen like a flash of blue, and it was like the camera was delayed, and then it came a file error. Now it could be something natural.
Yeah.
The second shot I tried to take also had the blue, and it was just complete pixels. You couldn't see blue or anything.
That's pretty odd. That's
And I tried to see it because there's a blue light coming in from here. Somehow it affected the shot, and you can't. I have to actually turn the camera this way, and even then it's very.
I heard. Okay.
Yeah. Sue's gonna kill me for this one. But this was done at a famous theater in Toronto at the Harbourfront. And we were doing an investigation, and it's been featured in many other shows and other groups have been there. Sue Demeter St. Clair is one of the founders of the group, along with Matthew Didier. And so Sue and I were talking because we had actually received a photo while I was gathering an EVP. This was done with the salad bowl again. Received a photo while we were taking pictures of the stage that had gone absolutely blue. So Sue, there was no one else in the theater. They were all at the outer parts of the theater. And I was on a little bit of a catwalk about 15 feet above the stage, and Sue was on the stage talking to me. And so Sue was talking about it, and she was talking about it, I guess, for quite a long time, because the first EVP says, "I hate natterers." Mm-hmm. And then the second EVP comes out in French, and this is the first different language EVP that I had gotten. It comes out in French, and I had to translate it. and it was Liaison Non Maintenant, which was, when I translated it, Contact Not Now, when it translated to English.
Yeah, okay.
So the first EVP says, I hate natterers. And the second EVP comes in and says, don't talk to them,
don't
contact not now. So that was a pretty interesting EVP. And my first foreign language one. Well, not a foreign language, because in Canada we speak French and English.
Yes.
So it was, but it was in a different language.
Definitely cool.
We're definitely going to have you on for, we could do like two more shows with you.
At least, this is awesome.
We'll definitely have to have you on again.
I haven't sent you the 100 more that I have.
Well, there's we can make a series out of it.
Yeah. We definitely look forward to doing it again. Yeah.
Well, anytime.
We're going to have to wrap up. John, thank you very much for you coming on and sharing all this with you. It was amazing, and we've learned a lot here.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah.
You want to give us your website address and everything so if people want to check out your stuff, they can?
Go ahead and give us a plug.
Sure. So you can contact SICAN, and some of these investigations and these EVPs are on SICAN also. So you can reach SICAN at if you want to send them an email, it's admin@SICAN.org. If you want to visit the website, it's SICAN.org. If you want to send me an email, it's johnm@ontarioghosts.org. Okay? So if you want to contact us, come and visit the website and have a look around, and see some interesting things on all aspects of the paranormal. And like I said, we're an education-based. We don't do haunting, or we don't do clearings or anything like that. We just want to inform. We do investigations. We go there to see what's there. And we go there to sort of build up our knowledge in the paranormal and transfer that to the people that really want to learn more about it.
Okay. Thank you so much for coming on tonight.
We'll definitely have you on again. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
If you need contact information for John, you can always get a hold of Dave or I, because we have it also.
All right, everybody. Till next week.
Have a good weekend.